Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, thank you, Brent. It's great to be here again and great to be part of the Empower Radio family. Grateful to your staff for helping make this all happen and grateful to all of our listeners, too, for tuning in for some positivity. Today, my guest is Chad Robert Stewart, who is an international management consultant and speaker and best-selling author of a book called The Five Great Principles of Life, which has become a national bestseller. And we're going to find out more about that. But first, welcome, Chad.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's great having you. And I'm on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast. So, we're bi-coastal today. I want to get to the book and we'll probably spend a good bit of time talking about that. But first, I want to get to know you a little bit. Could you just tell me a little bit about yourself and like start with your childhood? I'm just kidding, actually, but tell us a little.
No, it's okay. I mean, I'll go through it in like 3 minutes. But originally born in Newport Beach, California, which is just beautiful, gorgeous. Had a great upbringing. I was in an accelerated high school program, an independent study, my last 2 years, which was phenomenal. So I worked kind of one-on-one with tutors and sort of professors and. Very dynamic, unique situation because I was really bored in high school and took one class at took one subject at a time, went through the entire subject, and just had a lot of sort of independent study and private tutors and stuff. So it was kind of a very neat and unique experience growing up for those 2 years, junior and senior, and also was working at that time. So I sort of was already working when I was like 15. So I worked for a law firm, an architect firm, real estate developer. A big building company, an international antique dealer out of Laguna Beach, over for like 3 or 4 years. So it was really dynamic. So I had all these great experiences. I'd already worked for like three self-made millionaires by the time I was 19. And then I went back east to go to school, or actually continue my study because I took a lot of college classes and then eventually went back east. And I did my undergraduate at Brown University in British Literature and European History and went on to do my postgraduate work at Harvard University and Oxford, and then on to my MBA at Boston College, and then continued courses at the Institute of Directors in London, which is in St. James, just a really extraordinary and dynamic place. And then sort of had my own company for about 7 or 8 years. It was a development company. We did architectural plans and engineering and building. And then I also had two subsidiary companies off of that. One was for education. And the other was film and media development and film production. So that was really cool, very dynamic, very creative. And then I was in England for about 2 years, traveled all of Europe and quite a bit of the world, really. And then came back, was at Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, and then got into consulting for the last 7 or 8 years, which has been phenomenal. So sort of international consulting and global strategy, things like that. So fun.
Chad, that sounds like you've done that before because it flowed pretty easily. But that sounds like a pretty exciting, but also pretty intense sort of a growing up period and a career that seemed very focused. Did you miss anything because of the intensity of the focus on? Academics and being tutored and from a normal childhood perspective, do you feel like you missed anything?
And that's a great question. And I think in some ways it was interesting, especially with high school. Well, I tell you, that is just such an impact time in one's life, if you will. You know what I mean? I mean, it just seems to last a lifetime. People always reflect back to that sort of high school year, whether good or bad, right?
Yep, that's right.
So the junior and senior year was kind of interesting because I wasn't there at the school anymore. I was out doing my independent study and 25, 30 hours on my own, and I was working. But actually, it was kind of neat because I still saw my friends. But when I saw them, either on the weekends or Wednesday night or Thursday night or something like that, it was a little more special. Only because it's like, you didn't see them every day, right? And so it's kind of cool. And I was the only one with money, right? So yeah. You could do things, you know what I mean? And I didn't mind doing that and paying for things, but it was unique and it was cool, but it was just really, it was for me. And I think, and I sort of brought that up just because along with our conversation and sort of your book and my book and, you know, it's all about individuality, and it's just, you know, everything I've done and everything I sort of talk about, it's not about, you know, shoving people into a sort of box or a silo. And I think obviously that's what our educational system is doing and has done, and it's horrific to say the least. And, you know, I think everybody's different at different levels and stuff. And I think everybody has extraordinary talent and gifts. And I mean that not just to sound great, you know, right. But it's true. And, but it's just, it's finding those gifts, it's tapping those gifts, and it's utilizing those gifts. And so for me, it was a extremely unique experience because I got to get out there. I wanted to get out there. It wasn't like I was forced to get out there. You know, right. Some people like had to start working at 15 or 16 to support the family. And that's phenomenal and honorable and very noble. For me, it's just like, I couldn't stand it. I was so bored there. And I was like, you know, what a waste of time. And so, you know, I was out there with, you know, people that were 20 or 30 years my senior, you know, working with them, obviously not an executive level, but right. Learning like crazy. And it really started my whole lifelong journey of learning and being mentored. And mentoring and mentorship is a huge focus of mine, especially even when I'm giving presentations or doing consulting, introducing a mentorship program to an organization, corporation, is phenomenal. I mean, it's essential. You know, we all have something to learn. We all have someone from that's senior of us that we can learn from. And it's a great way, you know, to model and to learn quickly, if you will. You know, 10 years of someone's experience within 6 months or years, because you're not focused on, you're not going through all the methods, you're not going through all the failures, you know what I mean? You're heading to a certain model. And so that's always what I'm approaching and trying to do, and find those models and find things that work. But so anyway, that's kind of a long answer to your question, but I think it sort of sets the pace of the idea that we're talking sort of about learning, education, growing, individuality and uniqueness, so.
Right. It's interesting because I had lunch with a friend of mine yesterday who is currently publishing a magazine, and she was talking about another period of her life where she worked. She was in a relationship, and she worked away from her partner for 5 days a week, and then spent the weekend every weekend together. And she was actually talking about how that, even though it was not a traditional way to be in a relationship, it worked really well because the time that she and her partner were together, they were more focused on having good quality conversations, overlooking things that might have irritated them if they were together 7 days a week. And she was just speaking to how well that worked, and it led us to sort of just think about how we get so focused on the traditional way of going to school, or the traditional way of growing up, or the traditional way of being in relationship. And the more we allow there to be different ways of having life unfold for you, the more possibilities there really are. So I totally get what you're saying. At what point?
Just let me interject there, because it simply reminded me when you said that is reading about it a while ago. Paul Newman and Joan Woodward. Who were married for decades, and I remember Paul Newman saying, you know, what made that marriage work was the fact that, you know, they'd both be out filming and doing things, and you know, would talk on the phone and things like that probably every night. So when they had their time together, like whether it be a weekend or a week or whatever it was, total quality time, total focus, total appreciation, and that's really, he was being honest, that's what kept their marriage, you know, for I don't know 30 or 40 years. Together and work.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that's the model, but it's interesting. I hear people that actually are married and they work together at the same company, or they have their own. I think, my gosh, that's crazy.
Right, that's right. Yeah, that's another model that would probably be less interesting to many of us. But I'm always curious about how people come up with a title for their book, and so. The five great principles of life, are there really only five, Chad, or have you sort of had to combine ideas and thoughts into five great principles fit your title, or tell me about that?
Yeah, sure, and great question. And I will say, too, that my working title was called The Window. Okay. Because I just thought it sort of was interesting with the idea of a window and looking in, looking out, and all that kind of stuff, and then eventually, you know, evolved into the five great principles for life.
Okay.
And you know, that's a great question, because it's this is what the debate is, and I'm going to be launching my website for the five great principles in about 2 months. Very comprehensive, very extraordinary, very exciting, and I'll have roundtables. And so the point is look, these are, in my perception from my background, these are what I think are the five most important principles of life. And it's not to say that, you know, this is my concept, you know, and a concept can either be right or wrong because it's my concept. So I want people to debate it or approach it, or what are your five great principles? You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, you know, who am I? how could I define it in that sense? Right. It's just, it's from 20, honestly, from 20 years, and that's what the book is based on. It's based on 20 years of experience working and traveling all over the world, working for, you know, four self-made millionaires, three Fortune 500 companies, and launching multiple successful companies on my own. So I've been out there, like, working with these millionaires, working for Fortune 500 companies, and running my own company, and traveling all over the world. And so really, in the 20 years, this is really what I've come up with. And I still wouldn't change the book. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm on to my third book now, which I just started. But the point is like, I've gone back and I've read it, and I still like it. I still think it stands the test of time. I mean, as a writer, you know, there's that always that temptation of like, when do you stop, you know, or when is the book done, or you right. over-edit it. And I yep. still think it has a freshness to it. And I like that. You know, obviously I've advanced, you know, far more as a writer, might be more concise or go more in depth or whatever, but I still like it. I still think it stands the test of time. I think it's honest and I think it's real. And just to come back to what you're saying, it's like, it's what I think. And from those five principles, you know, I break it down into sections. I mean, the five principles is focus, strength, success, wisdom, and responsibility. And then under each one of those sections, obviously, is five or six, you know, key points. So it's not just like those five chapters. There's actually 27 chapters in the whole book. So
One of the things when I and as I said, I haven't read the book yet, but I look forward to that. But I did read the reviews, and one of the things that I think one of the and they were all very positive reviews, I would add. But one of the reviewers said that it was a book that was accessible, and I'm not sure that was his or her words, but that it was reasonably easy to read and take in. I remember someone telling me about a book called like the 36 Steps to Happiness, and the person that was talking about that was saying it was really kind of an overwhelming thing to sort of try to keep track of and manage, thinking about 36 steps to happiness. How could you possibly stay focused? But people seem to like your book because it's easy to take in and understand. Does that resonate with you? Does that sound true?
Oh, it absolutely. And I love what you're saying, because it reminds me of two things. One is it's a great quote by Einstein that says, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it in its complexity. And here's Einstein, and I read one of his bios a couple of years ago. It was just actually quite fascinating, and he had actually quite a normal and average life. And actually profiled one of his stories in my book, or I profile him in The Power of Simplicity. But I think that's just it. I mean, you obviously know from my background, my education, it's like, and that was the whole thing when I was doing the drafts, and I would send them out to some of my colleagues and people in the industry, and was getting feedback, and they said, I said, should I go deeper with it? You know, because it's very easy for me to go a lot deeper with this stuff, you know what I mean? And then go down and down and down. And it's just like, I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to lose people. And I think that, you know, what I think is interesting about it is that it's written very simplistically, but don't fool yourself. You know, the stuff that I'm hitting on, or the paragraphs that I'm doing, each one is very packed, you know, and it's like one line can be powerful and convicting. They're like, okay. They're like what I like to call power lines. It's kind of like the same idea of like a great quote. You know, you could read one great quote, just a line, you know, maybe it's seven or eight words or 10 words, and it can change your life. You know what I mean? I mean, it's that kind of quote where you absolutely understand everything. You know, you don't need a paragraph. You don't need the whole book to back up that quote. You get it. Right. It convicts you, or you connect with it. And I have a lot of that in the book, where it's just like, it's one or two lines, you know, where I'll address a subject or a topic. I mean, it's within the paragraph. So although it's simplistic, I mean, I it's hard hitting. You know, there's stuff that I talk about that, you know, I start the book out saying that most of us are about 25% of our potential. And that's true and based on a lot of research and things like that. But I mean, how do you like starting out a book like that? It's like, wham, you know, in your face. And it is that type of thing. And I talk about in my book that, you know, some of your goals might take decades. I mean, my whole book is about, which I like, is because it kind of aligns with your topic and your book and your theme about action, because my whole book is about action. It's about action and discipline. a marathon. I mean, I don't talk about money, I think, in my entire book. You know, this isn't a how to become rich or successful in 30 days. I think that stuff's absolutely nonsense. This isn't the power of intention, or any of that other type of stuff out there. Although focus is important, obviously, because that's what I addressed the first topic with, that's about 10% of it. You know, you got people out there building books and industries just around this power of intention, power of focus, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, give me a break. You know, it's the day in and the day out, hard work, action, discipline, endurance, failure. That's what gets you there. And it can take decades. And that's what my book is. It's honest and it's real. So there you go. You know, so it is hard hitting in that sense, you know, and I even talk about, you know, there's one chapter called No More Anchors and about letting go of the past, letting go of problems, and how one comment can literally dictate and destroy the rest of our life. About, you know, I talk about friendships and how important it is to have, you know, allies and friends, but how important it is to not necessarily have people that are bringing you down and let them go. Mm-hmm. And that's in a relationship or friendship or things like that. And so, you know, I mean, I cover a lot of topics, I cover a lot of subjects, and I cover a lot of key stuff. I just do it simplistically. I mean, do I need an entire book on failure? No, I address it in one chapter. You know what I mean? I mean, how much can you talk about failure? You get it. You know what I'm saying? I got a great poem in there about Lincoln. I got, you know, four or five paragraphs that kind of address it. I've got, you know, five reminders at the end. I've got some great quotes that support it from other great writers and things like that. So it's just, that's kind of the idea. I mean, it's like I talk about excuses, you know, and how excuses can really sort of pull our life down. It's just like, I know some writers out there, they have an entire book on excuses. And it's like, really? I mean, you need an entire book to drive the point home. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's the idea where I can approach these topics in a very simplistic, approachable, readable chapter. Someone can get that, work on it, think about it, and then move on to the next thing. You know, I don't need to carry it on and drag it on. So,
what's interesting, Chad, about, well, a couple of comments. One, the concept about we only are achieving 25% of our potential, I think, is good news, because no matter how much we're doing, it's exciting to imagine that we can do more. And so I would say that is certainly, from my vantage point, a very positive note to sort of begin your discussion of the five great principles. But the other thing that I was reminded of while I was listening to you is on my Begin With Yes Facebook page, which I do posts every morning and every evening. This morning's post was on the issue that you raised about that you can't let yourself be surrounded by people who keep you in your place or hold you back or are not supporting or encouraging, motivating you. And someone responded to that and said, I said, Bill, you need to protect yourself from these influences. And someone wrote back and said, you know, I believe you. I just wish I knew how to do it. And as I thought about that question, I really believe that you have to do it moment by moment. It's not a big thing that you do. It's a moment by moment paying attention to what's happening. And if you can only do it for 1 minute at the beginning, and it takes practice, I believe, then that's one more minute of not having negativity influence you. And so I think that sometimes people read a book, and because I haven't read yours, I can't comment on yours, but would read a book and feel like they have to conquer something like this. They have to go from where they are to where they want to be in one step. And I like the idea of many, many small steps moving us in the direction. And it's, to me, it's more achievable. And so it's not like you have to eliminate all negativity in your life. You have to take the next negative moment that comes at you and eliminate that. And I think that's more manageable. And as people have success doing that, they get it begins to build and they get better at it.
There's a great quote that says, "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step."
That's true.
You know what I mean? And then another one that comes to my mind, which is actually one of my favorites, is the hardest part of the journey is getting out the front gate.
That's very true. Getting out of bed in the morning sometimes for some people. Well, let's look at those five principles. And I know we're not going to have time to talk about them all, but I want to start with focus, because I agree that focus is really important. And as I talk to people, I find that people haven't really described for themselves or for anybody else what it is they actually want. And so they sure. they stay in this sort of in between space, not really content, but not really knowing what to do or how to do it. So tell me a little bit about what you learned about focus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to touch, too, real quick on what you're saying about, you know, the comment that you had on your Facebook this morning and what people were saying and addressing it and how you take that step by step. And one thing, another quote that came to my mind was from Emerson, and it said that solitude is the safeguard against mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, I like that because it means that, you know, we all need to take time alone. You know what I mean? We need time to think. You know, nobody's thinking anymore. So someone said, you know, what's on your mind? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Is, you know, what is on your mind? Is your mind on? Right. People aren't right. thinking. They don't address things. They don't reflect. And just to take everybody, you know, I get it. Some people are really busy. They have families. They have kids and stuff. But you have to protect yourself, your sanity. And this will tie into focus and vision. You have to take time on your own, even if it's 15 or 20 minutes. Maybe it's a walk in the morning. Maybe you get to the office early and you just have your quiet time and are flung the phone. Or maybe you park at your office early and you take a quick walk down yeah. the block. Do you know what I mean? Or something like yeah. that. Or when you get home, or maybe on Wednesdays you take off for an hour and you just go down to the, I mean, whatever it is, however it works right. for you, and you sit there and you really reflect and plan and think. That is so crucial and important. And that ties really into this whole idea of, focus and vision, because we stand a far better chance of hitting our target if we aim for it, correct?
Absolutely.
You know, and it's a very simple approach, and I think a lot of this stuff is simple. You know, everyone's out there with their complex models and their diagrams and all this other stuff, and look, I'll be honest, I've been all over the world, I've talked to people all over the world, you know, executives, CEOs, you name it, you know, read hundreds of bios and research and all this, I'm a historian, all that. And it all comes back to very basic principles. Everybody wants to complex it, or these seven principles, or these 10 principles. And, you know, everyone tries to kind of hone it in some areas. But it all comes back to the basics. And that's what people want. They want a magic bullet. They want a one-trick pony. They want $1 million today. And it doesn't happen. And unfortunately, we live in this fast-paced society. Give me now, and I want now. And they see the successes. They see the person on the Forbes magazine. They see the actor out there making $20 million. What they do not see, they never see behind the scenes, is the, you know, 10, 15, 20 years that took that person to get there, the failures that they had, the bankruptcies of the prior companies. And all my research comes back to that. Most of the successful people out there, real successful, not the snakes mm-hmm. that have manipulated a system and stolen it from people, but have really worked up and built up. You know, I mean, they spent years and years and years of hardship, failure, borrowing money, you know, hanging on by a thread, sometimes having to file bankruptcy, starting over again. But the difference was is that they were focused on what they wanted. They had a vision for the future and then discipline to get there. And that's the key, you know what I mean? And it's like we're kind of scattered. And this is coming back to this whole idea of focused, being focused. And, you know, I got to reset every morning. You know, I got to reset every week. I tend to spend Sundays, a couple hours Sundays, planning my next week. I'll sit down, quiet, you know, no interruptions. And I'll lay out my entire week. Everyone I have to call, all my emails, what I want to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know what I mean? I mean, really detailed. And I don't think a lot of people necessarily do that. I'm not saying you don't have a calendar, but I mean, it's down to the moment. So I don't waste time. I don't get that many phone calls because I've already contacted people. I don't get that many emails because I've already sent all my emails out. You know what I mean? So I'm not caught off guard. And it's so easy to get distracted or to lose focus on a daily basis and on an hourly basis. I mean, and I said this, I was just in Denver a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about the five great principles for life. And twofold. One is I said, look, I'm going to go over all these principles within an hour. It's a lot of stuff. But this is going to take you the rest of your life. This isn't a weekend workshop. You know what I mean? And hopefully you connect with some of these things and work on it. The second thing that I said is I don't know how some of you people actually get work done. You know, because as a consultant, I come in and I see it, and I'm like, I think most people, and I'm sure there's research out there, maybe I'll write a book about it, you know, their productivity is probably 15 to 20% a week. And I'm not kidding that. And I'm not saying it's their fault, or I'm not saying it's because they're lazy. But real productivity, real achievement is probably 20 to maybe 25% between the meetings that go nowhere, the people, the interruptions, the phone calls, the, you know, all of that just totally gets us distracted, takes away our energy. Everything is about focus. Everything is about momentum and drive, you know. And if it's like, if you have 15 minutes to do something, you only have 15 minutes to do something. If you have an hour to do something uninterrupted, if you have a half a day, if you have a full day, if you have a week where you have no interruptions, you can stay focused. You can stay working on this thing. I mean, distractions, it's amazing. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with focus and vision and having a vision for the future. And it's like, how many of us had an idea where we wanted to be 10 years ago and you look where we are and it's like, what happened? And a lot of that is like, you know, they say life's what happens to you when you plan on something else, but I would go farther and say, you know, it's that we lost our focus. We lost our vision. We got sidetracked. We got distracted. And none of this stuff is to be meant as criticism. Look, we're all there. Sometimes we have to take a job we don't want. Sometimes we have to survive. I get that. But it doesn't mean that you have to be condemned to that for the rest of your life. So,
I think everyone, Chad, would probably agree that focus is important. But I also think that people, and it gets to what you were just saying, some people are really struggling with both finding the time to get focused because they're being pulled in so many different directions. And I'm thinking of single mothers who are raising two or three kids, who are working and trying to get lunches together and homework done. Can you speak from a sort of a sympathetic or at least a compassionate place to people who have those kinds of challenges and who want to get focused but having a difficult time finding the time or even the energy to get there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really mean it that way. I don't mean to come across necessarily like harsh, you know what I mean? Okay. Or kind of fanatical like that, because I'm not. I do get that, and I even addressed it. You know, I get that you know, you have a family to raise, or you don't have the time and stuff. And I so get that. I've seen it. I've met the people. I've been in houses where it's just like, oh my God, you know, it's like,
right.
God bless you. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know, well, I remember being at one house and she had one of these, those little, you know, walkie talkies and the one upstairs was on, and her four sons were home upstairs, and it was just like chaos. I was sitting in the kitchen. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, you're a miracle, you know?
Yeah,
so I totally get that. And it is hard. And it's just like, and I would say that, you know, what's important to you, and it comes back to what I was saying, find the time. Look, if it's 15 minutes, I'm sorry, but you have to find the time. You have to struggle. I don't have the time. You do have the time. We all have the time to do those things. We might not have an entire day. We might not have a weekend. But we have 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour. And this comes back to other topics like passion and getting back to things that you want to do in your life and connect and stuff. You know, maybe you're doing a job that you don't like, or you're in a career that you don't want, or you have no passion, or you have no enthusiasm. It's just like, I talk about passion a lot. I talk about it with leadership and how important it is as a foundation. And I'll come back to what we were talking about. But I'm just saying, it's like, it doesn't mean that you quit everything, you know what I mean, or walk away from everything. It just means that you start moving in that direction. Maybe that 15 minutes becomes 30 minutes. Maybe Wednesday mornings from 7 to 7:30 is your time. Sorry, door closed, no one bothers me, you know, and you lay those rules down. Is it going to happen immediately? No, you know, but you build on that. And maybe it becomes Wednesday and Saturday, or I don't know, you know what I mean? But you have your alone time. You have time that you can reflect. Relax. Maybe it's a time that you start writing because you love to write, or you used to love to write, or maybe it's times you just read poems and just reconnect, or you know, listen to your music or classical music, whatever it is. You know, you have to have that time to focus. And I get it. I get the single father or the single mother, you know, that are working two jobs just to survive. Does it mean that that your life is over? You know, does it mean that you can't forge or find 30 minutes or an hour? You know, and it's like I started out my whole presentation in Denver with the whole idea that, look, it's all about choices. So I can talk to death today, but it's choices. You have a choice to listen or not listen. You have a choice. These are the choices that you make every single day. I mean, do you want to change? Do you want to grow? Do you want to become better? Or do you want to stay where you are? I mean, that's your choice, you know? Right. I can help anybody change. I can help anybody improve if and only if they have the will to do it. And if you don't have the will to do it, as we're addressing and we're talking on this issue right now, sort of about focus and about time and about building your life and doing things that you want to do. It's your choice. You know, if you don't want to change, you won't. If you don't have the will to do it, you won't. And that's why I really talk about endurance. I talk about discipline, and I talk about, you know, sort of the analogy of a marathon. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen over a week. But and it comes back to what you were saying. You start with those steps, you know. And if I took 3 steps this week, fantastic. And next week I take 5 steps, and the week after that I take 10 steps. Guess what? I'm moving forward.
Right. I love the concept, and I often tell people you can't be moving and stuck at the same time. So if you're taking a step, you're now moving, and you're no longer stuck, which seems to empower people a little bit. We have probably about a minute to go, if you can believe it, Chad. This has been so exciting talking with you, and so we didn't even really get to fully talk about one great principle. But talk to me for just a minute, for less than a minute, about why people should check out your book.
Well, I think what's neat about this book, and it's already done, you know, exceptionally well nationally. It just came out in sort of October of last year, and it's going to be going international probably towards the end of this year. I mean, all over. It's incredible. We're going to be selling the rights to Eastern Europe and Asia and parts of South America and stuff. But it's the type of book twofold. One is, I think, it connects and resonates with everybody, whether it's going to be one of those chapters or a lot of those chapters, and it's a timeless book. This is the kind of book that you're going to get, and you'll read through it, and you'll connect with something, and it will speak to you, and that's fantastic. I think if you connect with one principle, one chapter, one paragraph in a book that really connects with you, and you can take it and it stays with you, that book has done its course. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
I think my book has a lot of that. But,
Chad, we are out of time, but this has been a wonderful conversation, and thank you for your enthusiasm, and I'm definitely going to pick the book up myself and can't wait to read it. Thank you for being with us on Begin With Yes, and we will see you next time.
Perfect. Thanks again, Paul.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.